Broadcasting from the top of the rocks. This is News on the Rocks with Patty Steele.
Look, I've got lots of glasses. I have all this tequila. And
Andrew's
then
a functioning alcoholic.
Elvis has a whole office filled with all kinds of drinks. So remember the last time we did this, and we won't talk about what happened to the great lost podcast of 2019. We did this, and the first thing I said to you was, here's the great thing about doing my podcast. No one listens to it. And you were like, no, don't say that. And I really wanted you to understand that I meant that in the best possible way, that it's kind of like nobody's listening. Because we can talk to each other the way you and I talk.
Well, we will.
On the phone.
But keep in mind, Patty, I don't mind if 10 million people are listening. I'm going to say the same fucking thing.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'm sorry, can we use the word fucking?
Yeah, we can.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Those days are over, baby.
Hey, did anyone like introduce me?
Oh, that's right. Who are you? You don't want to tell everybody who you are.
Go right ahead.
We could play Who's My Guest? This is Elvis Duran, morning guru for Z100 Radio and across the nation on iHeartRadio.
Talk about ourselves.
I feel very disrespectful in using the F word a second ago.
Before anybody even knew who you were.
Well, is it okay? I just don't want to come across as some jerk.
Heathen? No, actually,
I don't want to use foul language because someone will think I'm an asshole.
You stupid prick. Shut your mouth.
Okay.
No, you're fine.
Please explain to everyone that we have a relationship.
Yes, we have a long time relationship. I actually discovered you. Well, that's not exactly.
Discovered me doing what?
Yeah, doing afternoons at Z100. That's when I met you.
We've been really, 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 really close friends since 1989.
Oh, holy crap, I was only two.
How many cups of tequila are you going to pour?
I did four because there are four people in the room.
All right. So when you do this podcast, you typically have cocktails for your guests. Have you ever had guests that said, no, I don't drink?
Yes, I have, and I go ahead and drink anyway, and they appreciate, they actually get a laugh out of that.
Look at you, little drunk lady. Well, you know, I'm actually coming off a 2-week dry period.
Is this your first drink in 2 weeks?
No, I had some wine last night.
Okay, good. So I didn't want to be your virgin moment.
All right, so you usually have your guests lubed up with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go. What do you want to talk about?
But I learned an interesting lesson. I did a podcast recently, and we had to wait because our producer was engaged in something else. And I said, oh, well, let's just sit in this room and chat, and we can drink a little bit while we're waiting, because I thought it was going to be like 5 minutes. Well, it was 35 minutes. And we were so sauced by the time we went in the studio. We're like, yeah, so what is it that you do, actually?
Was it a good podcast?
So, yeah, it turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy.
So what you almost told, and you didn't get to it at all, was we've done this interview, this podcast, and someone lost it.
Yes.
So we have a great podcast in a computer somewhere. We don't know where it is.
Yeah, he will remain unnamed, Dave Plotkin, at CBS Radio, actually at 1010 Wins. And he is an incredible world-class sound guy, except that he deleted our podcast and then threw out his trash in the computer and it was gone forever.
Shit happens.
It was funny because he went around and told everybody at Wins that it was like the greatest chat he had ever. He said, I felt like I had listened in on the most personal, most amazing chat. And he was telling everybody how excited he was about it. Gone.
Well, then let's get going. We'll make this one even better.
Well, oh my God, of course. 10 times. That was just practice for the real one, right?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, okay. I want to start with the beginning with you, which is a weird place to start. I don't know why we're doing that. But when you were a little tiny, little baby Elvis, like this big, were you an awkward kid? What kind of a kid were you?
I was a loner.
Yeah.
You know, and I've come to find out that a lot of people in this business were loner kids.
Mm-hmm.
I used my imagination
when
I spent a lot of time by myself because my parents worked and I'd come home after school and I had time alone.
Right.
And I tried to fit in with Cub Scouts. I tried to fit in with softball and league and little league, and I never did.
Why not?
It
wasn't you.
It wasn't me, you know? And this is how I kind of know, I think I was different than all the other kids at an early age. And that turned into, look, yeah, I am different. I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was gay before I knew what gay was. I knew
in
I was
Texas.
In the Bible Belt.
Right.
Well, you know, I knew I've been different
All your life.
All my life. And so now, if ever, even at 55 years old, if I feel like I'm fitting in,
right,
I feel like I'm making some sort of mistake and I should back off and not fit in.
Oh, that's an interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't ever really want to fit in at 100%.
You're not a conformist.
No.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
In some ways I am. But.
So were you a funny little kid?
Yes. You know, I got that from my dad. My dad was hilarious. He loved to stand up and tell jokes, and he would hold court with his friends. And we always had people at the house, and my parents always had cocktail parties, and my dad was always standing in the middle of the room, circled by his friends, telling stories and jokes.
With a cocktail in hand.
Yes. I learned how to make martinis for my aunts and uncles, in air quotes, when I was a little kid.
You know, it's interesting about that. You're, because I kind of assumed that for a lot of people like you, and to a lesser extent me, because I was shy as a little kid, but I was okay. I think that the humor is like a cover, because then you can be somebody different. I mean, for me, it led me in middle school and high school onto the stage, because I was impossibly shy. But if I got on stage, I was fine.
Well, and the same today is if you have a microphone in front of you.
Right.
Because I don't know about you, Patty, but I know that when I'm doing our show,
right,
I'll say things I would never say if I wasn't on air. I will admit to things on the air that I would never admit to off the air. You know who's really the poster boy for that philosophy is Howard Stern.
Howard.
And you know Howard. I don't know him.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have heard that when he is off the air, he's a little different than the guy you hear
he's
on the air.
He's way different. He is.
Same guy, though, but just he'll say
he's
things differently.
Incredibly sweet. Incredibly concerned about what's going on in your life. He's a remarkably lovely person, which if you listen to him regularly, you might not always assume first thing that lovely is a word that would apply to him, but he really is.
I can hear it. Even when he's having his, I want to be a tough boy guy, you can also hear humanity. You can hear how he's very, very caring, especially now he's involved with
Animal League
and his wife and kittens and cats.
I know it.
That's not the Howard Stern I used to listen to years ago.
Right.
He just seems like a great guy. I wish I knew him better, but I will tell you, I'll admit something to you.
Right.
I think I told you this. I was at a North Shore Animal League dinner, and I had too much to drink, but I had enough courage to go over and talk to him. And I said,
maybe you had too much courage.
I did. I said the dumbest crap.
And like I walked. What did you say?
I don't even want to say. I don't even remember it. Well. And I walked away thinking, that was so stupid. And I told your husband, Steve, who's friends with Howard, I said, I did this. He said, it's okay. Howard's used to it. People get nervous around him and they say dumb shit.
Yeah.
And I did. And so
Well, it's funny because, you did tell me this. And Steve actually texted Howard and said that, you know, Elvis had met you the other night and he felt uncomfortable because you had also taken some cold medication.
Yeah, so it was Benadryl.
On top of,
So my scalp was crawling and
right,
I was drinking
wine. Oh, God,
wine.
I know that feeling. And he said his answer was, oh, not at all, which made you even more uncomfortable because
he was just trying to be nice.
Right.
Anyway,
it sounds like that.
You know, so when we get behind the microphone or when you got on the stage when you were a little girl,
right,
for some reason, something clicked. You had this, we have this extra edge that we can put out there. It's still us.
Right.
But it's a little less filtered us.
It feels like there is this kind of beautiful frosted window in between us and the other person. So we can create something that they want us to be as opposed to, or I don't know. There just feels like there is something less intensely personal than that face-to-face, just you and me in the room, no microphones, no cameras, no nothing. That can get a little intense, especially in the old days. I'm better at that now, but for many, many years, I wasn't.
And anyone listening to this podcast, like as you said, all three people listening, you know, you think about this. Are you ever around certain friends of yours or in certain situations in your life where you are less afraid to say what's on your mind than you are in other situations?
Oh, totally.
So you can relate with what we're talking about.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Sometimes it's probably why I chose to do News on the Rocks and not some other way of chatting, because if I can get a little loosened up, some of the inhibitions fall away and then I can say things also.
Well, I'm on my fifth sip of tequila and we just got started.
I've just about polished mine off.
So growing up, Patty, just like you, you know, there were moments where I felt like I could be more myself than other moments, but they were both me.
Right.
It's just there's a filter that was lessened.
So when did radio come into the picture? Did it come in? I mean, what made you think, I want to be on this as opposed to a kid that just calls the contest lines and wins prizes all the time?
Well, you know, when I was a little kid listening to the radio, I thought I was actually connecting with this guy or woman talking to me on the radio, the DJ, playing the songs, yeah, talking about the artists, giving away tickets to shows and albums and things like that. It's like, what a great way to connect to people.
Right.
And in a way, they can say whatever they want. And yeah, back then, you couldn't talk back to them. You just get over whatever they said.
Right.
You can't say, well, you're an idiot, because yeah, they're not going to hear you. They're not right. going to hear you.
Right.
And so I was thinking back then, I guess, and being such a shy kid, what a great way to be able to say what I wanted to say without someone saying I'm a dumbass, you know, or making fun of me or whatever. So that was my thinking was, oh, I could do radio, and that's how I can connect with people in a safe manner.
When did you move into that exactly?
When I went on the radio.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, how old were you?
14.
14.
Actually, you know, I just ran the board at a local radio station. We had the Dallas Cowboys games. So I was in suburban Dallas.
Right.
We would run the games, and I would be the one who would turn off the action and play the commercials. And you know,
I ran American Top 40 that way at a radio station.
And I did that later, too.
Yeah.
And when I was 15 years old, that's when I first started talking on the radio, and I was awful. Luckily, I worked for a little radio station that no one listened to. It was the best training ground ever.
Hello. Here we are again.
I'm back full circle.
Right.
But you know what? I started learning going up from back then in radio, you went from market to market to market to market. Mm-hmm. It was very nomadic, and I kept moving around from Dallas to San Antonio to Houston to Atlanta.
Those aren't little markets.
Atlanta to Philadelphia, then Philadelphia. After Philly, the only job I could find that was available was at Z100 in New York. It's the only station that wanted to hire me.
So imagine that.
But Patty, I had never had any...
How old were you at that?
Well, you knew me. So that was 1989, and I was born in 64, so...
25.
Yeah. So,
25? 89, wait, what year were you born?
64.
No, 23.
Yeah, whatever. So that's when I moved to New York.
23.
Right? Someone do the math. 1989 minus 1964. Go. 35. We were nowhere near.
No. 25. Hello. Talk about full circle. Back to what I said right off the bat.
But the only job I could get was at Z100 in New York. And I'd been to New York many times.
What
and I
were
loved
they
it.
Thinking?
Well, I never ever thought in a million years I would live here in New York. But
yeah,
I got a job at the premier top 40 radio station in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then
what did you do with it?
I threw it all away. But I was working for arguably one of the toughest radio programmers in the business.
Yeah.
Your husband.
Tell me about it. I have to live with it.
But you know what? I never took my job that seriously. I was always drunk on the air and having fun. I never really knew what ratings were. I never knew any of that until I moved to Z100.
You said in your book, and I thought it was really charming. You said it was all just fun. It was like you'd go to work, you'd have a blast, and then you'd go party. And for the first time, someone said, wait a minute, you want to be successful here. You got to work at this.
Yeah, I had to actually rise to the occasion of working at Z100 in New York. And if you're not into radio that much, you have to understand that Z100 is the Google of radio.
It still is.
Yeah, what do you say? I mean, what do you call it?
It sort of defines radio at its best, and it has for decades.
And Steve was tough. He was tough on everyone.
Ugh.
But he liked me, and he was cool with me, and you know, and there were some days he would sit down with me and give me some criticism, and I would think, oh God, you know, I'm just going to leave then. You'd hate me.
Well, you and I've talked about that. You said you were in tears sometimes.
I was. But you know, one day he said, hey man, calm down. You got the job. Just go in there and do it. No one's going to fire you. You got the job. Go in there and own it.
Yeah.
And I came to work sober. I got here an hour before. I looked over my show prep. I would go over...
Unless
we had lunch. I would go through enough show prep to do 25 shows. Because back then I was doing afternoons. You don't say that much.
Yeah.
You fill up the intro of a song.
You were, and still are, but you were in those days at that age, me at my age, You were a party in a body. It was, I'd never heard anything like it in my life and still haven't. There was nothing in the world like listening to you on the radio. It if you can envision what it means to get in a convertible, have the top down, all the windows down, the radio blasting, and this guy on, there's nothing that I've ever heard that matches that. And I mean that with all my heart. I mean, I love you as a person, but if I separate that out from you as this artistic object that we've all made use of over the years, I mean, that's how I felt and feel about you. There is something, that an ability you have to touch people in a way. It's funny, a couple of months ago, I wasn't at work, so I got to listen to you because I do mornings as well. And it was a really simple thing.
What did you hear?
You were in the car. You said you were in the car the day before driving to like a book appearance. And you said, I never really have to drive in traffic because I live really close to the station. And I don't go in rush hour traffic very much. And you said, I was headed out to Long Island and I was stopped. And you said, I looked out the window and I looked around and I saw everybody else is stopped. What are they all doing?
What are they doing?
What are you doing? And I loved that. You know why? Because it showed me how much you care about the people who listen to you. And everybody in the studio started chiming in with, well, sometimes I do this and we do that. And if I'm not listening to you, then maybe I'm listening to a podcast or hopefully News on the Rocks. Or I'm listening to a book or whatever it is. And I thought, that's your magic, is that you can take the simplest thing and you can make this massive audience you have feel included. And I think...
Really?
Yeah. No, totally. You always have.
Well, thank you. A compliment from you like that is...
No, you always have. You've always been this guy who I felt... I mean, and sometimes you were talking to me because I'd be in the studio with you. But I always felt you were talking to me. You were having a party with me. You were making me happy. You were telling me a great story. You were caring about what it was I was doing. And I think that's like the secret of who you are and
really?
What you mean to listeners.
Well, see, I always wondered, the bottom line is I just come in and be me. And just like you, when you do what you do on CBS FM, you just are you.
I try to be.
Why would we want to be anyone else? I mean, but you know what? But in those early days at Z100, see, Patty, we worked together at mm-hmm. Z100. We were part of this family.
Yeah.
And so it was different. And we sounded, if you listen to old shows, I mean, right. It's nothing like we sound now.
It's a different style.
Yeah. Back then it was, for me, it was screaming and, you only had 10 seconds to say 30 seconds worth of something, so you have to edit it down.
But it was happy, and it was just so festive to listen to you.
I love
you.
The word festive.
I know. It was so festive to listen to you on the radio, and it still is. That's what's interesting. The way you communicate has changed.
Well, this is, 20... something years later, I think it was 25, 30 years later.
Yeah.
So I came to Z100 in 1989. Mm-hmm. You've been here since
1987.
So
when I was four.
So we've been around for a while. Yeah. Now I'm 55 and you're 39.
Yeah.
You know what? So our styles have changed. The things that we think about and things that are important to us have changed.
Right.
But I love coming in every day and still doing this. And mm-hmm. someone the other day said, well, what are you going to do when you retire? Retiring is not a possibility.
Yeah. No.
How about you?
No, absolutely not.
We're going to die at the microphone.
I'm going to,
maybe one more shot of tequila.
I mean, I'll die
right
when
now.
They like walk me out the door, but I would hope that.
Hey, can I point something out?
Yeah.
So in this room, our producer Diamond, how old are you, Diamond?
25.
25. And how old are you, Andrew? My assistant Andrew is 28. Mm-hmm. They couldn't care less about old time radio. Don't you know what we've done? The road we've
Hello,
paved.
Hello, it's history, children.
Few people, they don't care.
Well,
they couldn't care less.
But you know what? It's all a part of the evolution of us and of the business.
Yeah.
So care, please.
Drink more tequila.
Don't stop.
It makes
caring.
You more interesting. Anyway, so where were we? What are we talking about?
So you make the transition to radio. Were your parents supportive of that?
Yeah, always were.
Oh, they were.
Especially when I quit college and went into radio full time. Because I remember telling my dad, I said to my dad, Dad, I'm going to go into do a business and I'm going to make money and send you and mom and around the world. He said, well, if you just get out of my ass pocket, I can afford to send myself around the world. And then I knew he was right. College wasn't for me. So I left college to get my first full-time job in at a real radio station, which was in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
A station that no one listened to.
What time of day were you on?
Nights. I did 3 hours. It's a 3 hour shift from 5 to 8, or 6 to 8.
So evenings.
Five to eight.
Yeah.
5 to 9?
6 to 8 is 2 hours. But
5 to 9.
You should have finished high school.
I don't know. Never did well at math. So, and then they moved me to the morning show. And that was my first taste of mornings in a large market.
Right.
And I loved it. Because in mornings,
it's a whole different thing.
You get to bring more people in.
Yeah.
And not only did I have two or three people in the room, and I had Charlie Chalupa, I had Linda Butch Garcia, and then we had the Power Pig who would come in. And then whoever was walking down the hall, we would pull them in and make them a part of the show. That's why I love mornings, because you can interact with other interesting people. In the afternoons at Z100, it was just me and the music. And I got bored doing that. But when you would come on, it was the only time I had a chance to be with someone. And then you would disappear.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, well, because I was also doing other shifts there. So don't be mad at me for leaving you. That's the way it worked.
But then you
decided to leave. Was it because you were bored just doing afternoons?
I had an opportunity to leave Z100 and go be a program director. And I thought that was just that. Being a program director is you're the director of the...
You get to tell people what to do.
I hated it. What a stupid idea that was.
No kidding.
But once again, I found myself out of a job and your husband was there to save me. So Steve hired me back at Z100 and I came back. Thank God.
Yeah.
I got
my
old
job
back.
Because in most cases, you walk out and they say, don't ever darken the doorway again.
Well, I darkened it.
Yeah.
And he welcomed me back and I will forever be in his debt.
And that was what year was that?
91 maybe. I don't know. Somewhere in there.
And you've been at Z100 ever since.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
30 years, almost 30 years.
And I keep thinking I'm just way too old for this radio station. I should be moving off to the old music corral.
No, not at all. Because here's the beauty of you is that you surround yourself with people who infuse you with all of the feeling and the information that your audience needs.
Younger people.
And so
isn't it creepy being the old uncle? Come on, kid.
No, it's not creepy.
Prop up Uncle Elvis.
It's not creepy if you celebrate it and you sort of steer the ship, but allow them to create the atmosphere.
Andrew, you're 28. You're too old. Get out of here.
I think it's only when...
I need a 22-year-old.
It's only when you become obsessed with talking about what you're interested in and you forget what your audience is interested
in. Well, I try to mix it up because I still have to talk about the fact that I am a 55-year-old guy.
No, nobody's saying you should lie about who you are, but not be afraid to bring in thoughts that maybe don't play into your everyday experience. Well, like you said, you're gay. You haven't had children. Doesn't mean you're not going to talk to people who have children or kind of explore what they're going through.
And I can still get an erection. Want to see? Watch this.
Wow. That's incredible.
You look down. Stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get.
I do.
Okay. So, you know, I have found that if you're 27 years old and you're a woman driving to work, you don't want to hear a 55-year-old guy talking about a hard wiener. You know what I'm saying? But I do it anyway.
Well, that's not necessarily
so
true.
So how old are you again, Diamond?
25.
Do you want to hear an old white guy talking about his wiener? She does.
Thank you. Well, she's, my girl.
She's fucked up.
No, she's great. It's a new era.
Well, she's different. Anyway, where were we?
So, well, we're just talking about you having a hard on. And now my mind has gone to all these other places.
Yes.
So here's what I wanted. We talked about this in the great Lost podcast of 1919 or 2019. A defining moment in your life. And at first you said, well, an aha moment. You said, I don't really have an aha moment. And then you told the greatest aha moment. And I think it sort of opened your thoughts because I don't know if you thought I was meaning just in radio or something else, but you told us about this moment when you were in a relationship that wasn't very happy and you were out at your house in the country.
Right. I was in a relationship with someone. It just was not working. He was not right for me. I was not right for him, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt lost.
And sad.
I knew I had to end it. Mm-hmm. And By the way, I've never been dumped. I've always been the dumper. But anyway, that's another story. So I was sitting in that living room feeling sort of just defeated. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to move on. And, you know, and I, even though I shouldn't be with this guy, he's here. And, you know,
and who else could I get? And
am I ever going to have anyone else? And I had this, like, someone took a frying pan and beat me upside the head and said,
well, it's that or it's an epiphany, whichever you want to write.
I realized I'm a catch. I'm a great guy. I'm actually a really great guy. I actually truly do love myself. And I know that sounds so cakey and so like, really? But I actually at that moment realized how much I am a good guy. I have my edges.
Well, we all do. But you, as you said, and this to me mitigates all the edges, you have an incredible heart. And you deserve to be with someone who appreciated your heart.
Hey, if anyone's listening to this podcast, obviously they're the same way because no one would sit through this shit unless unless they appreciated people.
But haven't we all been through that a little bit?
Well, no, but no one would be listening to this and you unless they had a big heart because they would see just by listening to you that you are an amazing, amazing force, an amazing woman.
And so if you don't have a heart, feel free to stop the podcast now.
Get out of here. Not wanted.
Bye.
So your question was, do we
now
what?
We have no one listening.
We have one heart person.
One heart person.
But you just asked a question, but aren't we all a little bit like that?
Aren't we all a little bit? You know, I would like to believe that there are people. I don't know if I'd like to believe it. I have to question myself on that. But I would like to believe that there are people who just, for whatever reason, maybe the way they were raised or whatever, just feel good about themselves from the time they're an inch tall. I don't think all of us feel that way. I think most of us go through periods in our life where we feel really insecure. We feel like shit. We feel like, how do I present this confident person to the world when in fact, inside, I feel like I'm crumbling.
Right.
So I think a lot of us go through that. And so to me, the epiphany is when you look in the mirror and you say, you know what, despite all of my shortcomings, and I could look in the mirror and point out plenty of mine, I have a right to be loved. I have a right to be respected. And I have a right to expect the people around me to either love me or move on.
Exactly.
And I think that it's an important thing to remember either, actually in both your personal life and your professional life.
Hey, look, you know, if you are going through some awful, awful challenges in life and you get through them by lashing out at others and making them feel like they're a lesser of a person, my response to that is don't hang your shit on me.
Right. Right.
I'm doing okay. I'll help you. I'll sit here and listen to what you have to say and give you some feedback if you want it, or just be a sounding board, whatever.
Right.
But I've learned in learning to like yourself, you do understand the power of the word no.
Right.
You understand the power of saying you're not for me as a friend or a partner. Get out. Because that's showing yourself self-respect.
That's hard though, isn't it?
It is hard to do. But you got to do it. Otherwise, people are going to walk all over you. And everyone listening to this has the power to do that.
Right.
You have the power to find the things within yourself that you do appreciate and use those as your energy and your permission to say to people, you're not for me. You're not working out for me as a friend. So you got to go.
So it's interesting you say that because in my perfect scenario, I love myself. I say, I'm not going to put up with this crap. And they just kind of fall away. But you actually have to like say, you know what? Take a hike.
Well,
you're not adding anything here.
You find ways to delete them from your life. Yeah. But I got to tell you, life is much better when you can try to get rid of that static and those potholes in your road ahead. And you owe it to yourself. Hey, you young ones. Seriously, don't let people fuck around with you.
So wait, there's more. While part one has dealt with Elvis's and a little bit of my beginnings, you're really going to want to catch part two. We're going to talk about everything from sex, anger, nature, and spirituality to the search for self-confidence, learning from pain, politics, and of course, the pandemic. Check out Elvis and Me part two on the next News on the Rocks.